good morning, or afternoon, or evening. Maybe you're even watching this in the middle of the night. But whenever or wherever you join us from for worship, you are very welcome. Today is Sunday the 8th of January, and at some point during the past week, all the Christmas decorations will have been taken down, put into bags and boxes, ready to be stored away for another year. But while the season of Christmas may be over, the lessons that we take from it are ones that should be living with us all year round. And it's for this reason that I want to share these words with you. This poem by Michael Dougherty, which itself is a variation on Howard Thurman's When the Song of the Angels is Stilled. When the carols have been stilled, when the star-topped tree is taken down, when the family and friends have gone home, when we are back to our schedules, the work of Christmas begins. To welcome a refugee, to heal a broken planet, to feed the hungry, to build bridges of trust, not walls of fear, to share our gifts, to seek justice and peace for all people, to bring Christ's light into the world. We are called to do this, no matter who or where we are. And as December turns to January, January onwards to June or August, this year, let us promise to find ways to bring Christ's light to the world, a world that deeply needs it.
eternal one. You are wise beyond our understanding. You are hidden from our sight and yet revealed in all creation. You're ancient and yet ever youthful. You're neither male nor female, and yet we are made in your image. We gather together, although we are apart. We gather because you sent Jesus into the world to reveal your love for us and to call us to follow in his way. Together with our brothers and sisters around the world, we come together to show you our love in words and song, in silence and in speech. We adore you, living God, and we want to know you more fully, to discover more of your love and to offer ourselves in your service. We are truly sorry that we have sometimes let you down. We've failed to speak or act in ways that are loving. Forgive us, Lord. In a moment's silence, we offer our sins before you and seek your forgiveness. Having offered our sins before you, help us to accept that you promise to forgive us. Help us to commit to trying to do and to be better people in the coming days. May your Spirit guide us on our way. Give us ears to listen and guide our words and our actions. So be it. Amen.
Psalm 131. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. Amen. The New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 22 to 38. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings.
This week has been an interesting week for us here on the peninsula. For on Thursday, we had a service of celebration, acknowledging that the parishes of Ardgour, Morven and Strontian have united to form Ardgour, Morven and Strontian Church, and Acarical and Ardnamurchan have done likewise. These two new united congregations have then linked together under the ministry of Reverend Donald McCorkindale and a team comprising Ella Gill, attached reader, and hopefully a number of others. It is true that the local church is changing, as is the national church. And as we enter into a new year, it may seem difficult to be cheery about the church's future. They all seem to be facing huge challenges and great upheaval. The lucky churches like ours unite and link, joining together to cover huge areas. But they do keep going. Others, however, are facing the closure of their buildings, and with it the belief by some that the church is closing too. And although a limited number of congregations are increasing in size, the majority are decreasing here in Scotland, both in the national church but also in other denominations. With fewer and fewer young people attending, the future does not look bright and can in fact be downright disheartening. But maybe we need to stop and take a deep breath, take a step back and look at things again from a different perspective. Maybe we need to try and see things the way God does, which in truth, and thankfully, is often very different from how we understand the world around us. And one of the ways that we can do this is by looking and listening again with fresh eyes and ears to our New Testament reading from today. This reading is amazingly deceptive in its simplicity, for although it is a passage about Jesus, he's far too young to teach us anything himself, for he has no voice. There are no words written in red here. But nonetheless, we can learn much from this passage. Firstly, we can see clearly that God cares nothing about gender divides. Male and female alike were both used in this passage by God. There was Simeon, Joseph, and of course Jesus, but also Mary and Anna, all playing fundamental roles in this part of the gospel story. All had a purpose, a calling. And likewise, God sees us in the same way today. We are called by God for a purpose, not because we are male or female, but because as individuals, we have gifts and talents that God wants to use. He wants to use them to build up his kingdom here on earth. Secondly, this passage shows us that while gender is not an issue to God, neither is wealth, status, or even education. This passage clearly shows us into which class bracket Mary and Joseph fit. For they were following the Jewish law, and 33 days after giving birth to a son, they had gone to the temple for Mary's purification ritual. There they made a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This was a sacrifice that was specified for poor people who could not offer a sheep. This means that Mary and Joseph were not well off by any means, yet God still chose them to raise his son. They also held no university degree, nor were they people of high social standing. Yet God trusted them with Jesus' life. And maybe we need to pause and consider what that means for us today. Mary and Joseph were not chosen for their wealth, nor their place in society. But they were chosen for their willingness to trust God. And in truth, if the church really wants to survive, never mind prosper, we need to be more like Mary and Joseph. Willing to say yes to God, no matter what he asks of us. And able to see the true purpose of life is not about money, political or social power, or even education. It's about being able to hear God speak and to follow his commandments. The real purpose of life is to love God and all that entails. But the story teaches us something else. It teaches us that age means nothing to God. Here we have a story where Jesus is shown as a vulnerable month-old baby, young as he may be, voiceless as he may be, God is with him and will and does work through him. This story shows us so clearly that children, even the youngest of them, are important to God. And we must see them as God does, as a valuable part of the church family. And in congregations where we are blessed to have them, we must find new ways of giving children the place that they deserve. Not at the edge, hushed and quiet, seen but not heard. But rather, they must be placed at the heart of the church family. And maybe when we learn to do that, those congregations that have no children now will see them return. And while Mary and Joseph's age are not known, Mary was probably in her early teens, Joseph a bit older. When you think of the teenagers you know today, or those you hear about on the media, would you consider them to be the best choice to raise a child, in fact the Son of God? Would you trust them to care, protect, teach, nourish, and love such a precious bundle? Many would not, rather believing that someone older, more mature, would do a better job. But that's not what God believed. God saw the potential of these young people, and he knew they were up to this most important of jobs. God saw them differently than many of us would today. And we must remember that and be willing to see teenagers and young adults the way God does, as people with huge possibility and strength. While we do not know Simeon's age, it is believed that he was old, and Anna, the prophetess, was aged somewhere between 84 to 105. While both of them were old, they were not too old for God to use. Although already mentioned in this scene, we do have the promise of youth and a new beginning in Jesus and in Mary and Joseph. But we can also find promise and hope in the life of these two older believers. For these elders have been waiting, like many of us, for the coming of a new generation, a new sign from God, a new beginning for them all. And God sees this, sees their potential, and speaks to and through them. As many churches face up to the reality of the changing world, as they look out amongst their numbers and wonder, how do we reach young people? Might this passage offer us a chance to stop, to pause, to reflect and remind ourselves that though we need more young people, and we do, we also need those who are not so young. For they have many talents, much wisdom and a wealth of experience that many are ready and willing to offer to their communities if they're given a chance. Young or old, rich or poor, this passage shows us that God can see possibility in us all and can work through us no matter our situation, so long as we're willing to listen and trust in him. We also need to be like Anna and Simeon and learn to wait. Wait for God's timing, for his timing is not our timing. And while it can be frustrating when we do not see the changes we want when we want them, perhaps we just need to let go and let God, as the saying goes. So as we begin a new year, and as we begin a new chapter in the life of the Peninsula churches, maybe we need to stop and remember that young or old, male or female, rich or poor, God has a role for each of us in his kingdom. There is something unique that he's called each of us to do. But like Mary and Joseph, or Simeon and Anna, we must be actively seeking his way and prepare to say yes when he calls us. And when we are willing and able to do that, when we put our trust completely in God, then like the people in the passage today, we will see great things happening. And in doing so, we will hopefully see the world more like God does, a place full of hope, possibility, joy, and love. Amen.
Lord, our world can seem chaotic, out of control at times, but we trust in you. And we come calmly before you with our prayers for people and places that need your help and healing touch. For prophets like Anna and Simeon who live among us, we give you thanks. May we seek to become like them, noticing you at work in our world. For wise leaders who follow in your way, we give you thanks. May all leaders turn to you for wisdom and guidance and seek to serve everyone in their care. For parents who strive to protect and care for their children, we give you thanks. May every parent know your love and seek your guidance, listening to the wisdom of those around them. For children who live in loving homes and communities, we give you thanks. May all children feel your love and may they be protected and cared for. For temples and church buildings, for community halls, wherever people can gather to worship you, we give you thanks. May communities support and work together to ensure these buildings continue to serve their communities. For people and situations known to us, we offer our silent prayers. Lord God, we thank you for promising to listen and to answer all our prayers. For the folk we know, for the folk we don't know. For people near and those far away. Help us, Lord, to see you in all people, to serve you each day, building your kingdom here and now. Lord, hear us. Graciously hear our prayers. Amen.
God calls us in many ways. He calls us to offer our service to him, and he asks us to do it with joy. So let us come now and dedicate our offerings to God with joy. Let us pray. Eternal God, life giver, gift giver, thank you for all that we are and all that we have received. We present ourselves, our time, talent and money as an offering in the service of your kingdom. Take and use as you see fit. And Lord God, we bring together all our prayers as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Why are we finishing worship from a building site, you might ask? But this is not just any building site. This is a building site that is full of hope and promise. God's hope and promise. It's a building site of our new church. A church that will offer much in the coming months and years to those in this community and further afield. This is a sign of God's love for us. So go now into the world. Your faith has been strengthened. Your wisdom has grown. Go now boldly, proclaiming the good news that the Redeemer has come for everyone. Go in love, go in peace, go in joy, and may the blessing of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our guide, go with us all, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.